And now with your Bibles open to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4. And while you're turning there to the Revelation, chapter 4, may I remind you of your opportunity this evening at 7 o'clock, the Sunday evening worship hour, my message in the continuing series of messages from the book of Daniel will be entitled, The Handwriting on the Wall. The fingers of a man's hand out of the sleeve of night writing the doom of a king and a kingdom. Why, that's the most terrifying thing I know about. The handwriting on the wall. I want you to be here tonight to hear it. And I want you to share it with someone else by inviting a neighbor, a friend, to come and join with you in this special message tonight. The summer encounter continues. May I urge you to take a part in the soul-winning visitation witnessing ministry of the church this week, and again to be in Sunday school next Sunday and through the day for the good things of the Lord. Revelation chapter 4. I shall begin reading at verse 1. But first, a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the promise of the coming of the Lord. We thank Thee that there shall come that day when we shall crown Him Lord of all. Now we pray that as we consider that day that yet is in the future, indescribable, unimaginable, the horror of the great tribulation period, it is our prayer that Thou wouldst quicken the hearts of men and women and boys and girls in this place today, so that if there be any without Christ, that they would come to trust Him. Give us revival, a spiritual encounter that would embrace us, motivate us to embrace others in the spirit of revival. It is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. The end of this age is fast approaching. The dispensation of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit's work in calling out a bride for Christ, is just about to be over. The next great event on the calendar of God's timetable will be the return of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and the rapture of the church. It will be a world-shaking, revolutionary event. Nothing before in the history of mankind has ever happened like this. There shall be sounds and noises and events transpiring that have never happened in all of man's recorded history and shall never happen again. It will happen so suddenly that the world will be startled beyond measure. Jesus describes the suddenness of his coming under the symbolism of a thief that comes in the night, unexpectedly and unannounced, suddenly, without any notice, without any word. I read in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 39 and verse 40, that if the goodman of the house knew the hour in which the thief would come, he would be watching and he would be waiting. Then Jesus issues that admonition strongly to his disciples. Watch therefore. Be ye therefore ready, for ye know not the hour in which the Son of Man will return. We do not know the hour, we do not know the day, but surely we can see the handwriting on the wall. I am convinced that the course that our country seemingly is choosing to travel is one of the most definable signs of the soon return of the Lord Jesus. I'm convinced this morning that the coming of Christ is at hand. The day is far spent. The night of gloom for this world is at hand. I believe the coming of Christ is imminent. By that I simply mean that I believe that Jesus Christ could come now, at any moment, this hour, this moment, this second. My text begins with these words, after these things. After what things, preacher? After the church age. For Revelation chapters 2 and 3 give to us, in terms unmistakably clear, the course of the church age. The seven churches of Asia Minor unfold and reveal and develop for us that expanse that we call the church age. Now, the church age had its beginning with the founding of the church by Jesus Christ. We believe that our Lord founded the church in the days of his flesh, and that he empowered the church on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. The church age, we believe, shall end after the last soul has been born into the family of God. What an hour, what a day that shall be, when the name of the last blood-bought, redeemed, ransomed child of God shall be written in the Lamb's book of life. And then the heavenly bridegroom shall come for his bride, and the age of the church, the dispensation of grace, is forever over. When he returns and raptures his bride, it will be D-Day for the unsaved. It will be doomsday for the wicked. The Bible speaks over and over again and again about that day. The day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah's wrath, the day of judgment upon the earth. I read in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1, "For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." Beloved, the day of the Lord shall be a day of darkness. It shall be a day of distress. It shall be a day of destruction. It shall be a day of death. It shall be a day of trouble, a day of turmoil, a day of tribulation. It all begins after. And I emphasize that for your clarification today. It shall begin after the rapture of the church. Amen. Then comes the dreadful, awesome day of the Lord. My message today is entitled, The Return of Christ and the Tribulation Period. Before I speak specifically of the nature of the tribulation period, I shall speak first in general terms of that awesome time. Three things I would have you to note generally about the tribulation. Number one, there are three schools of thought concerning the tribulation. One, there are those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Two, there are those who believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. And three, there are those who believe in a post-tribulation rapture. What do we mean by pre-tribulation rapture? That simply means that Christ will come before the tribulation period. What do we mean by a mid-tribulation rapture? That simply means that Christ will come at the middle of the tribulation period. And what do we mean by the post-tribulation rapture? That means that Christ will come after the tribulation. All three of these cannot be accurate. All three of these cannot be true. All three of these cannot be in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God. We are and we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That is, we believe, according to the teachings of the Bible, that Jesus Christ will come before the tribulation to claim his waiting bride. Secondly, the tribulation period is prophesied and described in prophecy. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, and verse 7, I shall read that one verse. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Then the Old Testament describes in that one verse, among other verses, the nature of the tribulation period. It will be the time of Israel's refinement, the time of Jacob's trouble. Thirdly, the tribulation period is known as Daniel's 70th week. To the prophet God, Daniel said, 70 weeks shall be determined upon thy people, that is Israel. We believe that 69 of those weeks have already transpired. They're already history. They're already in the past. We believe that the 69th week closed with the first advent of Christ, and that there has been an expanse of time of almost 2,000 years that has separated the 69th week from the 70th week, which will be the week or the last segment of Daniel's 70th or 70 weeks. And this will be the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now that I have spoken generally of the nature of the tribulation, I shall now speak specifically of what kind of day this awesome day shall be. And I shall speak of three things. First, I shall speak of the fact that it will be a period of worldwide confusion. Secondly, I shall speak to the fact that it will be a period of intense suffering. And third, I shall speak that it will be a period of fruitless praying. It will be a period of worldwide confusion. Let us project ourselves beyond the rapture for a moment. Let us say it is the day after the Lord has returned for his own and has raptured away the church, the believer. There, I believe, will come off of the presses what we might refer to, as some before us have referred to, the post-rapture journal, a special edition. I can almost hear by my imagination of my mind newsmen on the street crying, "Extra, extra, read all about it." Somehow I want to project the headlines of some of those papers this morning. It seems to me that I can see in bold letters printed across the headlines of the papers of the United States and nations around the world, words like these: millions missing around the world. Headlines like these: communications jammed as confusion mounts. Headlines like these: mysterious disappearance of thousands causing alarm and concern. Headlines like these: broken-hearted families mourn their missing loved ones. And this tragic headline might read, "Crowds throng the local churches to find the answer." But, beloved, it shall be too late. This is the day of opportunity. This is the day of light. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace. That will be a day of judgment. When the tribulation period begins, all the saints will be gone home. They'll be taken so quickly that there'll be no time for farewells and goodbyes. When the Lord comes and the rapture takes place, there'll be vacant chairs. Yonder's grandmother's chair, who sat with weeping eyes that dripped upon the blessed page of God's wonderful word. It's empty. Mother's chair is empty. There shall be vacant cribs, as daddies might go to their bedrooms to seek out the little form of their precious babies who have been raptured to be with the Lord. Vacant chairs and vacant beds. And no time for farewell. The family circle will be broken. For in the families of earth today, there are those who are saved and there are those who are unsaved. Business houses will be disrupted. You speak of employment problems today. We don't know anything about employment problems. I can visualize in my mind that special ads will come out in the paper: help wanted immediately, no experience necessary. Labor shortage like we've never known for those ones who have gone out to labor with their hands, whose sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb, shall labor no more. For the day of our labor shall be over, and we shall enter upon that eternal celestial city of rest. Yes, there shall be employment problems in this worldwide confusion. Jesus put it this way: two shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. There'll be vacant schoolrooms. The playgrounds will be hushed in a mysterious silence. Pilots will be taken from their planes in flights across the ocean and across the continents. You talk about a hijacking, there's going to be a supernatural hijacking. When those born-again pilots that are flying those machines through the air and the currents of wind, when the Lord Jesus returns, up they shall go, and it must be taken over by somebody. When the divine hijacking takes place, industry and government will have to be reorganized. Engineers will be removed from their fast-moving trains from one city to another. Men will be looking for their wives and their children. Can't you see them now running up and down the street, crying out the names of their wives and children who have been taken by the Lord when he comes to rapture his own? People will be tormented by the memory of hearing a preacher begging them to trust Jesus Christ as their own Savior. men and women will be reminded of the many misspent opportunities that they had to be saved. Some will think they still hear the echo of mother's voice as she prays for her unsaved ones. Many fathers will imagine that they hear the voice of their son or daughter begging him to go to Sunday school and church. What an hour! What an hour! What an hour! Confusion and chaos will be the order of the day, for the tribulation period will be a time of worldwide confusion and chaos. Secondly, it will be a period of intense suffering. Jesus said that it would be a time such as there had never been before and there never shall be again. No one can describe it. It defies the description of the most gifted tongue. The pen of the most prolific writer will exhaust its supply of ink before he signs finish to the story. The words of the most gifted orator will be inadequate to tell the story. The poet cannot make it rhyme. The playwright cannot stage the horror of this woeful trail of human suffering. Listen to some of the unheard of things that will take place after the rapture. Peace will be taken from the earth, and the ravages of war will be turned loose upon mankind. I see in the Revelation chapter 6, four horsemen. The white horse is a symbol of peace. He goes forth to conquer without an error. But then, after the failure of conquering by peace is evident, the Antichrist will go forth in symbolism as we see it in Revelation upon the red horse. And it shall be a red horse of war. And our world has never known the ravages of war that shall take place in the tribulation period. Famine will be universal and millions will perish from hunger. The horror of death will circumvent the globe as multitudes will be struck down by the rider of the pale horse. Hailstones weighing 96 pounds apiece will fall in mass upon this earth, wreaking destruction in their path. One third of the sea will be turned to blood. One third of all sea life will perish. One third of all the commerce upon the sea will be destroyed. The stars will fall from their sockets in the skies and plummet to the earth, crushing the inhabitants upon it. One third of all the water supply will be embittered, and many shall die from the bitterness thereof. Locusts with heads like horses, teeth like lion and tails like scorpions will sting men to the point of being unbearable, and still they cannot die. One third of the population will be killed by an army of 200 million horsemen. The mark of the beast will be stamped upon all men who will be forced to bow down and worship Antichrist. They would not receive the truth, and because they would not receive the truth, God will send them the lie of delusion, and they will believe it, and they will receive the mark of the beast, and they will fall down before the Antichrist and worship. Death and pestilence will spread abroad over the face of the earth. Men will be scorched by the intense heat of the sun. Darkness will cover the face of the earth, and men shall gnaw their tongues in excruciating pain. Thunder and lightning will frighten men all over the world as they seek shelter from the wrath of God. Earthquakes will cause convulsions that will destroy entire cities and bring cataclysmic changes to the geography of the earth. Men in that hour and in that day shall seek death. But the Bible declares that death shall flee from them. O day of horror! O day of judgment, O day of wrath, O day of the wrath of a righteous God who occupies a righteous throne. O day, that great day is come, and who shall be able to abide? What a day of horror, what a day of gloom, what a day of anarchy, what a day of carnage, what a day of bloodshed and strife and war and famine and hunger. A day like unto which there has never been, and like unto which there shall never be. It will be a period of intense suffering. Where will men go then? To whom will men turn? Who will be the Savior? Who will be the Deliverer? Hear me when I say it, there will be no deliverance. There will be no Savior. Those who have spurned the mercies of God will drink of the bitterness of the cup of His indignation in that awesome day of intense suffering. Finally, I speak, it shall be a period of fruitless praying. The last great prayer meeting on earth shall be in that day. And I'm going to read it to you from the Word of God. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, you listen to these words this morning. Now, this isn't the word of man. This isn't what I think or some other preacher thinks or has said. This is the word of God. What is it about? It's about the last and final and greatest prayer meeting on earth. Listen to it. Revelation 6, 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let me say this to you, my friend, this morning. One of two things will happen to your life, to your heart, to your being, to your soul. You will either, one, come by the wooing of the Holy Spirit through the grace of a wonderful, loving Savior. You'll come in love to trust Him as your own Savior, to honor Him, to own Him, to ascribe to Him all majesty and might and dominion and glory. Or else you shall be driven to Him by the wrath of God, falling on your face and crying out for even the rocks and mountains to fall upon you and hide you from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. For the wrath of God is come, and who shall be able to stand? People will pray, but it'll be too late to pray. Let me read it to you from the book of God. Don't take my word for it. I want to read to you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Listen to this. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Listen carefully. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Here it is, listen. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. As sure as you're living, mister, there will come an hour when it'll be too late to pray. It'll be too late to call upon the name of the Lord. It will be a period of fruitless prayer. But the tragedy of it all, it will be too late to pray. The time for you to be saved from all of this is now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Oh, sinner, I admonish you. I implore you. I adjure you. I beg you, in the name of Jesus, flee from the wrath to come. For the day of opportunity will soon be past. This is the day. Then shall come the day of his great wrath. The day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to abide? There's one safe place. That's the ark of safety. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. O sinner friend, flee from the wrath to come. Run away to Jesus and find safety and security and salvation in his arms. Let us stand for our prayer. Dear God, this morning, how we do thank thee for the place of safety, the Lord Jesus. How we thank thee that thou hast provided a way, a place, a time, an opportunity. May men see today that this is the place. This is the time. This is the opportunity. This is the golden moment of their lives. If there be one without the Savior, don't let that one leave without trusting him. If there be those who need to come and renew their vows, rededicate their lives, make a new start, begin all over, consecrate everything to Christ, may they come this morning. If there be those who need to come into the fellowship of our church, may they come today. Oh, don't let them stay outside too long ere Christ comes. Help them to be watching and waiting as a part of the body of Christ. Saved and baptized and in the fellowship of the church. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for his sake.